In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. About a year ago, I was doing a lot of working out. I'm not right now. I'm trying to get back into it. It's a good thing to do. But I was doing a lot of working out, and on top of working out, I was doing a lot of walking. I got one of these new fitness tracker things that counts my steps, and I was obsessed with this. And so I was making sure that I wouldn't just get, you know, a little bit of a goal. I had a big goal. I wanted 16, 17,000 steps a day, maybe even 20,000 steps a day. And where we lived, I was able to walk to my job at the seminary. And so I would get up in the morning, I'd go to the gym and come back, and then I'd walk to the seminary. And then on my lunch break, I'd walk for a good half hour and get, you know, two more miles in during lunch. And then I'd walk back home at the end of the day. And I bought a brand new pair of sneakers right at the beginning of this fitness journey. And I kept walking, I kept working out. And then all of a sudden, my feet started hurting. And I couldn't understand why. And I looked at my shoes, and I realized that my shoes were shot. I had never worn out a pair of sneakers like that before. Never. It was amazing. And so I realized this, and I got a new pair of sneakers, and my feet, they just stopped hurting. But this reminds me, the reason I say this, is that in the Old Testament lesson today, we hear from Nehemiah. And Nehemiah is remembering back to the time when God's people were in the wilderness. And he says, beginning in verse 19, "You and your great mercies did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud to lead them in the way did not depart from them by day, nor the pillar of fire by night to light for them the way by which they should go. You gave your good spirit to instruct them, and did not withhold your manna from their mouth, and gave them water for their thirst. 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness, and they lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, and their feet did not swell." And in other places in the Bible, we learn that their sandals didn't even wear out. Even the shoes on their feet, as they were wandering for 40 years in the wilderness, probably a lot more than 2 hours on a lunch break, their shoes didn't wear out for 40 years. I think that's one of the most overlooked pieces of God's provision for his people in the wilderness. We all remember that he gave them bread, and we all remember that he gave them water. We might even remember that he gave them so much quail that it would come out their noses, which is, I think, a very humorous piece of God's provision. But he also provided not just for their food, but for their clothing, for the very shoes on their feet. And with good reason, because where are you going to get a pair of shoes out in the wilderness, wandering around? God took care of every single one of their needs. And this story of the Exodus, this story of God's people wandering in the wilderness and God providing for every one of their needs, with the pillar of cloud leading them by day and the pillar of fire by night, this became one of the most important collective memories in the mind of the Israelites down through all of their history. It's something that they pointed out again and again. And in the festival of the Passover, they remembered each year the story of how God brought them safely out of slavery in Egypt and safely through the wilderness until they could come into the land of Canaan that God had promised them. And through all that time, God provided for them richly. There is a distinct connection between the gospel passage today, Jesus and this feeding of the 5,000, and this story from Exodus and also from Nehemiah, where we read it today. Think about it for a moment. Jesus feeds these 5,000 people in a desolate place, just like the wilderness that the Israelites wandered through. And Jesus provides not just a little bit, but abundant bread, just like the manna that fell on the earth each and every morning, so much of it that they could collect as much as they needed each day. God provided for his people richly, and Jesus provides richly for his disciples in this desolate place. Now, there was an expectation in first century Palestine that the coming Messiah, when he came, would be accompanied by great signs. And one of the great signs that people expected was a repeat of this bread in the wilderness sign that God provided through Moses. There was an expectation that when the Messiah came, this same thing would happen again, that God would provide bread for his people in the wilderness. There's a first century writing that is not in the Bible, but it was a spiritual Jewish writing at the time called Second Baruch. And in Second Baruch, it says, "It shall come to pass at that time that the treasury of manna shall again descend from on high, and they will eat of it in those years, because these are they who have come to the consummation of the ages." This is typical of what people expected when the Messiah would come. And so Jesus stands here in the desert with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he feeds his people abundantly. Jesus didn't have to feed this crowd. It would have been perfectly reasonable to send them into the towns and villages nearby to go buy themselves something to eat. Many of them may have lived in those towns nearby. And with a short journey of a few miles, they could have been home eating from their own stores of food in their own houses. This wasn't something that Jesus had to do, but it's something that he chose to do because he wanted to make a statement. He wanted to show the people who he was. So who is he? He's the Messiah. And this Messiah orders the people to sit down on the grass around them. Perhaps this has echoes from Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, the place where the sheep would eat." He has them sit down and he feeds them. And this wasn't just about providing food. It was the great shepherd gathering his sheep into a new messianic community, a sign that the kingdom of heaven had come in power, and also a foretaste of the banquet that was to come many years later, still in the future. This is Jesus. And through these actions, Jesus declares once again that he is this Messiah, this anointed one, this one who was appointed to come from the beginning of ages to save his people. He is the rescuer, and this miracle is a demonstration of who he really is. But this miracle is also a demonstration of an important aspect of God's relationship with his people. Chiefly that God is a provider. That just as a father cares for his children, God desires to care for his children's needs. And not just a little bit, but with abundance. The Bible is full of stories of God's miraculous provision. We can think of people like Moses in the wilderness, but also David and Elijah and Elisha and Nehemiah and so many others that we could draw out, each one with unique stories of how God provided for them when they didn't have the resources that they needed. God loves to bless his children with the resources that they need. Jesus is showing the crowd that God is still powerful and that he's still able to provide bread for his people, even in the wilderness, even in this desolate place. And he doesn't just provide a little. He provides a lot. Jesus was showing off. These 5 loaves, these 2 fish, a standard Jewish loaf in that day was said to feed about 3 people a meal, or perhaps 1 person for a whole day's provisions. He takes these 5 loaves, enough for 15 meals, and these 2 fish. And I don't think we're talking about a big shark. We're talking about, you know, fish that you could carry up into the shore around the Sea of Galilee. These are smallish fish. 5 loaves and 2 fish. And out of that, he feeds 5,000 people not to mention the women and children who were there with him. Why doesn't it count the women and the children? Well, they wouldn't have counted the women and the children in that day. And Matthew's actually making a statement here by including the fact that they were present. He's saying that these women, these children, these too are a part of this messianic community that Jesus is gathering. They're too part of this kingdom of God that he's establishing. God provides for all of those people. It could have been as many as 20,000 people out of 5 loaves and 2 fish, 15 meals. And again, it wasn't just a little bit of food. In verse 20, it says they all ate and were satisfied. And the word used for satisfied means to be full, to be fully satiated, to have your belly stuffed, like on Thanksgiving. It's that kind of provision. God provided not just a little, but with abundance. And the quantity of the leftovers, if you think about it, was even greater than the amount of food that they started with. 12 baskets full of leftover broken pieces from just 5 loaves and 2 fish. Our God is powerful to provide for his people. And God's provision isn't just something that we read about in the Bible. It's not something that ended 2,000 years ago with Jesus feeding these 20,000 people. God still provides today. He delights to fulfill the needs of his children. He loves to watch the smile on our faces as we see food come to our table and money into our bank accounts. Our God is a rich provider. I can't tell you how many times God has provided miraculously for our family's needs. He does it over and over and over again. There have been times in our life where our finances have been very tight, so much so that we weren't quite sure how we were going to make ends meet by the end of the month. And each and every one of those times, God would do something unexpected. Maybe it was a bill that came in less than we thought we would owe. Maybe it was a little bit of extra work on the side. Maybe it was a random check that appeared in the mail. God has myriad ways of providing for us. But each and every time, God always did what we needed. He always gave us exactly what we needed. And he still does it today. God has always provided enough for us. Similarly, Trinity School for Ministry, where I've just come from, has this thing that we like to call the June miracle. The fiscal year at Trinity runs from July to June, and so the end of the financial year is in the month of June. That's the last 30 days that you have to raise the remaining money needed for the budget that year. And each and every year, God provides what's needed. This has been going back for generations. Every year, we look at the amount of money that still needs to come in, and we pray and we ask God to provide, and each and every time, he does. God provides richly for his people. If we think back on Hudson Taylor for a moment, the missionary that I was telling the children about earlier, Hudson Taylor had a saying that he's known for saying, and that was, God's work, done in God's way, will never lack for God's supplies. God's work, done in God's ways, will never lack for God's supplies. This is the way God works, both in our personal finances and in our corporate finances as a church. God doesn't want us to focus on money. He wants us to focus on mission. Earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is speaking to his people and teaching them, and he says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And this is in the context of talking about clothing for their backs and food for their bellies, for the most basic of needs. Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And then he continues, "Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus doesn't want us to be concerned with how he's going to provide. He wants us to trust in his provision. He wants us to know that if we focus on the things that he's called us to do, he'll make sure that we don't lack for the resources we need to accomplish it. This is who God is. This is who Jesus is. He loves us. He has a mission for us. And he will provide for us. The biblical pattern for funding the ministry of the church is through the tithes and the offerings of the people, giving 10% or more of their income to support the collective mission that God is calling them to. And just like Jesus took from his disciples their meager offering of 5 loaves and 2 fish and multiplied it and turned it into an abundant meal for the people gathered, so too, Jesus takes the little that we have to offer and he multiplies it and makes it enough for what he calls us to do. God invites us to participate in his provision. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He has more resources than any of us could ever need. And yet he gives us the privilege of participating in a small way in his provision for his church, in his provision for the ministry that he calls us to. That's amazing. That's amazing. The traditional Jewish prayer of blessing at the time of a meal was this: Blessed art thou, O Lord God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. It's not we who produce bread, it's God. And while we might take the wheat and grind it into flour and turn it into loaves, it's God who grows the bread from the soil. Not one of us is able to make that happen. It's an annual miracle. It happens over and over and over again. God brings forth bread from the earth. God provides for the needs of his people. God, the loving Father, feeds his hungry children. He puts clothes on their backs. He puts shoes on their feet. He cares for us. He cares for you. And he will provide for all of our needs. Whether we recognize it or not, he is the one who brings forth bread from the earth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our provider, that you are our loving Father, that you care for us, that you watch over each and every one of our needs. And we thank you for the mission that you've called us to reach out with your love to those who don't know you, and to bring them into the fellowship of your church. We pray that you would watch over us, that you would guide us in mission, that you'd keep our eyes focused on where you want us to go, and that you'd help us to trust in your provision along the way. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.